There was still a lot I did not understand about human beings, but I had seen enough daytime drama to figure this one out. Rita might not believe I had committed rape, but that wouldn't matter. She would not care if I had been bound hand and foot, drugged, and then forced to have sex at gunpoint. She would divorce me when she found out, and she would raise Lily Ann without me. I would be all alone, out in the cold without roast pork, with no Cody and Aster and no Lily Ann to brighten my days. Dex Daddy dumped. No family, no job, nothing. She would probably even take custody of my fillet knives. It was terrible, hideous, unthinkable. Everything I cared about yanked away, my entire life flung into the dumpster. And all because I'd been drugged? It was far beyond unfair. And some of this must have shown on my face because Samantha kept looking at me, and she began to nod her head. "That's right," she said. "You just think about that." I looked back at Samantha, and I did think about it. And I wondered if just this once I could dispose of somebody because of something they hadn't done yet. Proactive playtime. But luckily for Samantha, before I could even reach for the duct tape, Deborah decided to impose herself again in the role of compassionate rescuer. "All right," she said. "This can all wait. Let's just get you home to your parents now." And she put her hand on Samantha's shoulder. Naturally enough, Samantha pushed the hand off as if it were a loathsome insect. "Great," she said. "I can't fucking wait." "Put your seatbelt on," Deborah told her. And completely as an afterthought, she turned to me and said, "I guess you can ride along." I almost told her, "No, don't bother, I'll stay here and feed mosquitoes." But at the last second, I remembered that Deborah's record with sarcasm was not good. So I just nodded and buckled up. Deborah called the dispatcher and said, "I've got the Aldivar girl. I'm taking her home." And Samantha muttered, "Big whoopee shit." Deborah just glanced at her with something that looked like a rictus, but was probably supposed to be a reassuring smile. And then she put the car in gear, and I had a little over half an hour to sit in the back seat and picture my life splintering into a million decorative shards. It was a terribly depressing picture. Dexter disenfranchised, tossed on the scrap heap, stripped of his carefully built costume and all its comfy props, flung naked and unloved into the cold and lonely world, and I could see no way to avoid it. I'd had to go down on my knees and beg, just to get Samantha to do nothing while I tried to escape, and she had been neutral then. Now that she was peeved with me, there was nothing I could possibly do to stop her from telling, short of actual vivisection. I couldn't even give her back to the cannibals. With Kukarov dead and the rest of the group either captured or on the run, there would be no one left to eat her. The picture was grim and very clear. Samantha's fantasy was over. She blamed me, and she would take her terrible revenge. And there was nothing I could do about it. I have never really had an appetite for irony, but I couldn't help but see more than a little of it here. After all I had done, willingly and joyfully, and now I would be brought down by a sulking young woman and a bottle of water? It was so subtly ludicrous that only the French could truly appreciate it.